Hello and welcome to The Talking Step. I'm John.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Michael.
It's been 4 long weeks. We've missed 4 long episodes.
Hasn't it been 5 weeks?
I don't know. I think so. It may have been. Yeah, it's been five weeks. We're starting off with the confusion right off the bat. We have been busy, as per usual.
School's been hectic. Work's been hectic.
Yeah. Michael, your school's been super hectic because you, make video games or whatever.
And it's your last year or something.
This is my last big, difficult semester. I'm working on an animated film called Recipe for Disaster, and it's going to be really cool. And if it turns out good, maybe I'll even post it for people to watch on the Talking Steps feeds. Well, should I do that?
What?
Should I post my animation on the feeds for everyone to watch?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, maybe.
I'm going to self-promote. I'm in an animation class and making an animation. I'm not sure if it's good. We'll see.
Let them be the judge.
Yeah. And then I'm working on 2 video games at once. So I pretty much just work all the time on those things.
Yeah, me too. I wrote a 10-page essay in 3 hours. How about that?
Sorry, I fell asleep.
That was out of necessity.
3.33 pages per hour.
Yeah. That's impressive. Lickety split. That's how you do it. A lot of procrastination beforehand, though.
The
point is, it got done. That's not what we're debating.
We're getting a lot more work done than the people in the next step getting ready, because clearly they're not getting ready for any competitions. They've been just dramaing it up.
It's been drama city.
Drama city.
Drama city. It's not regionals yet. Regionals is right around the corner.
And we left it on quite the cliffhanger.
This is almost the perfect time for us to do this episode because the cliffhanger we are on is quite the cliff we wanted to all hang from. Let's say that. Okay, so.
So we're returning with season 4, episode 22. Rumor has it. Piper.
Pause. Rumor has it. Name the artist, boys. Name the artist.
Adele.
Correct. I wanted Matt to fail at it first. Come on, Michael.
Adele?
It is Adele. In my opinion, I'm a big Adele fan. In my opinion, it's Adele's worst song. Because it's too modern.
I thought it was...
All of her other songs could fit into any type of, decade. The song Rumor Has It is Rumor Has It, He's the One on... It's just too... It's too kitschy. It's too modern, poppy.
But for this...
I usually like that, but Adele has a different style, which I like more. I like her other songs more. I think it's her least favorite.
But for this episode, it fits perfectly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The tone's perfect.
I thought Michael was grasping at straws with Adele. I was getting ready for you to stomp on him.
It was Adele.
Waiting for you to be like, you idiot.
It was a wild guess, I'll admit to you. I had no idea.
Wow. Well, that was perfect. You nailed it. Okay, so yeah. It starts off, Piper, at the end of last episode we saw, Piper
confronts Riley about kissing Elsie.
Yeah, you are going to be the one to tell James.
Yeah.
And it is...
Ultimatum.
Piper pulls out this acting chops, and it's some serious stuff, and she does not mess around. She is angry, and she is grumpy, and this is... Mm-hmm. He really throws an ultimatum in Riley's face.
We're always impressed by the acting skills of this girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
I was scared. I was scared this whole episode. Riley is being put down. Riley is being brought down. This powerful monarch of the studio being brought to her knees.
Is this proving to us that power corrupts?
Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Yes. It is a philosophical ideal.
It's a very cynical worldview.
Well, there is a cynicism to these last few episodes, uh-huh. which can't be ignored.
But there's an optimism on Riley's part, which we'll get to.
Yes, yes. We're, it's getting to that. Okay, so...
They kind of cut through the different things, so I don't know. Do you want to address all of the
Yeah,
Riley
let's just do a
stuff,
beat by beat.
Or do you want to go beat by beat, throughout the episode?
Let's see, Riley... let's just cover that story then. Riley, she gets the ultimatum from Piper... Piper's being all grumpy and stuff. So later on, when they're playing a surprise for Noah. Noah's still in the hospital. They're making a card for Noah. Riley shows up, right? And she says, I could sign that card. And what starts happening? Piper starts throwing attitude.
The biggest shade throwing I ever saw.
She starts talking sideways like crazy.
She says, she's like, how about you, you're right... I hope you come home soon or something like that. And then well, don't you mean the studio? And then she's like, and then you could write XOXO, that stands for hugs and kisses.
She just drops that bomb.
Boom. And everyone's picking up on it. They're like, what is going on? They know something's bad.
You could even hear the whistle before the bomb hit.
Yeah, it was insane. But like, how do you feel about that? Like, she's throwing attitude to her superior, but she has pretty much good reason. How do you think she's talking to Riley in an insubordinate way, or do you think she's talking to Riley as sort of like a sister-in-law sort of relationship? She's angry at her. She's disappointed.
I think it's kind of like a love-hate. She's like, I don't understand why Riley's so conflicted, and she's hurt to see Riley hurting, but she's also hurt because Riley kind of betrayed her.
Yeah.
Because she betrayed family. Right, she thought she kind of accepted Riley in as family.
And
she feels so betrayed.
She feels betrayed.
So she's lashing out. Feeling. I think she's lashing out a little.
So the attitude is justified, even though she's being insubordinate. Openly insubordinate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think the situation does complicate things. You can't just be professional. You can't expect all these kids
it's
to maintain professional
attitude.
It's
called nobility, all right?
Not everyone thinks in such loyal standards like you do.
Well, you
have this medieval view of loyalty.
Maybe they should think about that. Hey, Alfie thinks the same way.
This medieval view of hierarchy and loyalty you seem to harbor.
Let's continue. So, later on...
doesn't James phone Riley?
Yeah, no, James phones Piper. And Piper is thinking that James already knows.
Okay, he's been trying to phone Riley the whole day.
Yeah.
And she hasn't been picking up because she's been too afraid to face him.
So she don't
he
know
calls
where her
up
head
Piper
is at.
Trying to figure out what's going on, and Piper just can't hold it. Of course, she just breaks into tears immediately.
Yeah, she's like, there's just something wrong. You know, like, I can't talk to Riley about it. And it's very dramatic. And James knows he's got to return. He's got to go back to Canada.
Uh-huh.
He's got to take the first plane to Pearson Airport.
John, if you were in London getting ready for the finals of a big like tournament you were in,
Bangers and Mash,
and your sister calls you up in tears,
Bangers and Mash,
would you leave that competition even if she didn't tell you what was wrong?
If it was very apparent by the conversation that I needed to come back, then yes.
That'd be a really hard decision, I think. He seems to make it like immediately. He's like, I gotta go. Which shows how like loyal he is.
They have a good connection, yeah. He knows. He knows
and
there's
commitment.
Something. Especially because it ties in both Riley and Piper, so it's a double reason for him to come back, you know?
Well, he doesn't know about Riley.
Yeah, but she said, I can't talk to Riley about it. So that means there must be something involved in that situation.
Yeah.
He can assume something from that situation, so... He had good reason to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And who takes it? Well, we'll get to that, of who takes his place. But, okay. So, so James is on the way back to Canada.
Yep.
And then?
Do we want to move on to
one
of the other plot lines?
So let's jump into Cassie.
Cassie wants to make a card.
Yeah, they want to make a card for Noah. You know, he's in the hospital. He's just getting out of surgery. You know, he's all messed up. So
some 0% drama there. Not much. That when Piper doesn't want to reveal what she's upset about to the rest of the group,
which is breaking the code of the 0% of their openness,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's a little resentment to it. Yeah. Like I think there's an interaction later on in the episode when. They're a little...
Well, because Amy and Sloan had to work it out, so it's not fair that Piper...
Gets to keep a secret, right?
So there's a little resentment there. And Cassie is also having a problem where she just keeps running her mouth off, and she won't, you know, she has no filter.
Yeah, that's true. But do you think the gravity of the situation, she had to keep it a secret?
Yeah.
It's a big deal, you know, it's a big, intense, it's a...
Because it is about an authority figure that they're
gossiping
about.
It is the
about,
integrity
right?
of the studio, you know? It risks everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going on.
The other stuff going on in this episode is we get a crossover.
Crossover.
From Lost and Found.
I love a good crossover.
With
crossovers,
my favorite Lost and Found character.
Crossovers are the big thing nowadays. You see them in TV shows and movies. Everyone loves them. Everyone wants to see them. And we got one. And it makes the most sense because it is from Lost and Found. Noah. Not Noah.
No, Theo.
Theo. Names with O's in them always confuse me. Theo.
Yeah, Theo.
That's your favorite character?
Yeah, I love Theo.
He's eccentric.
Yes.
And he's kind of unpredictable.
Yeah. He's guest starred on The Next Step before.
Yeah, he's been on.
So it makes sense for him to be. Yeah, and he's known to be friends with Noah.
He's exciting. He's kind of a comedic relief kind of character.
Mm-hmm. But also super
gets
good
people
musician.
To relax.
Yeah. So in this episode, he has this scheme, right?
He is going to distract Amanda from Noah's surgery and hospital visit.
Because uh-huh. that man is worrying about it.
And apparently his code name for Noah is Constantinople.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. He
says what was his code name? Like Noah's code name for him?
Oh, I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I'm sure it was something comical.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why would he call Noah Constantinople? Oh, Noah-pole.
Nopal. Maybe you think it was pun based.
Maybe
it has to do with the historical significance of Constantinople or King Constantine.
Maybe.
Anyway, one interesting point during their interaction, of course, they're doing the dancing thing when he's playing music and that kind of thing, getting her to think of cute things about Noah. But the interesting thing is when they go to the talking head.
Yeah, the sideways in your head realm of talking to a camera.
Uh-huh.
The talking heads, yes.
Our theory. In John's, I think he wrote an initial.
It was
one
our consensus.
One of our early episodes.
That it must be a thought process thing.
It's all in their heads.
So, and then this one, we see Theo's thought process interacting with Amanda's thought process.
And he says earlier that I'm getting into her mind.
Yes, they should confuse some people thinking that, oh, it must be some type of interviews that take place after in the real world, but it's not. He said in an earlier scene that he is telling her mind to not think about Noah, which he does in the next scene. Yeah. So he describes it for it, so it all makes sense.
And when he says stop, it interrupts her thought process and brings her back into the present.
Yeah, which was his goal.
Yes.
Which is very, very nice touch. I like that. It was a fun little thing.
It kind of confirms our collective theory that it's all in their heads, the talking heads. They're not actually in reality.
So then, cut back. Piper is dancing out her feelings, as they tend to do. You know, she's going through an emotional process.
Yeah.
And Michelle walks in and she's wondering about all that attitude Piper gave to Riley.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. I've been the dance captain because Michelle, she can feel that resentment, right?
Because
she's had people be insubordinate before.
Yeah.
And she's definitely been self-conscious from it.
Michelle wants to know what up.
Yeah.
And
Piper immediately tells her.
Yeah, Piper
immediately breaks.
Pushes Piper over the edge. Well, because Piper and Michelle have this weird sort of alpha dog mentality behind them. It's so weird.
Yeah, that Michelle kind of just taps Piper.
So Piper reveals all, and in this awesome shot where...
it's a crane shot.
Yeah.
I just look like a dolly shot to me.
I would say it looked sort of like a dolly shot to me, but we don't know exactly. It could have been. We've seen set photos, then they have a crane.
Yeah, they have a small crane there. And you could easily do that shot with a crane. You just hold it. And
so we don't know, but that was a really cool shot when Michelle found out that Riley kissed
Elfie. Kind of swoop in on her, the woof.
It was the perfect, like a whoa.
She just saw Jaws.
You was expecting it was like a lost moment where it goes like, what? Lost. You know, something like that. very cool, and then the gravity of the situation really weighs in for Michelle.
Now, Michelle, the old Michelle, she would have taken this information.
And been like, what am I going to do with this?
What do I do? And she would have really thought about it for a while, but she doesn't now. She just takes it right to Riley and says, listen, what's going on here?
Yeah.
What you doing? What's in your head, Riley? Except she was
a lot more angry. She seems like really upset with Riley, which is good.
Yeah, you know, she's definitely showing that she's like, because Michelle is a number two, you know, it's like, she's like an advisor, right? So it's like, she has to be tough in some ways, you know, she can't be a yes man all the time, right? That's for, you know, other minions of the person. but yeah, so like initially, like then Michelle confronts Riley and she's confrontational about it, right?
Uh-huh.
Quite confrontational.
Yeah, so she's like, what did you do? You know, this is, do you know how bad this is for the studio?
Which I think forces Riley's hand even more.
Yeah. Riley is in total distraught now. She's just all broken up. She can't even focus on the studio work, which I'm assuming is a lot.
Guys, we actually missed.
Yeah.
We missed regionals. I was too
distracted.
The third qualifier for regionals, we missed it.
I was too distracted with boys.
There's still a qualifier. There's a qualifier. For regionals, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the hardest thing about that is that it's Elfie dancing with Piper in that. And they're trying to dance and, like, they just keep...
Oh, yeah, they're like, hey, let's keep this business, all right? Let's keep this... Oh, wait, no,
Is that next episode or this one?
Yeah, that's gotta be next episode.
Okay.
Yeah, because they all know. Right. So then...
it concludes with what we were talking about before. Piper is sulking at this point, and that's when she gets the call from James.
Yeah.
And reveals it all. again.
Right. No, she didn't reveal it to James. She just says to James that...
Well, that she's upset.
Yeah, she's upset. And James, and then James
has to come home.
So the ultimatum is set for Riley, right? Is that all that leads up? Is there anything else that happens in that
episode? No, that's how the episode ends.
But is there anything else in that episode?
No, that was it. Those are all the beats. Yep.
Okay, so at the end of this episode, James leaves. He flies on back to Canada.
Yeah.
All right. I thought that, it was a great lead-in episode. Yeah, it's gonna be a bumpy ride. Here it comes. bricks are starting to fall.
We're basically just wincing at this point, preparing for it.
The bricks have been set up, and now they're gonna start to fall.
Yeah, the dominoes, you mean.
No, I meant it's a crumbling wall.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't thinking of like a domino set. That means it's sequential. All right, second episode. Here comes your man. I don't know that song.
It's a season 4, episode 23. 23.
Here comes your man. All right, so at the start of the episode, James has left. Eldon and West are trying to cope. They're thinking, what are we going to do? He's gone. Yeah. We've got a competition up next. And what could happen next?
They're thinking to themselves.
Yeah.
Man, I feel this is the longest competition ever on television.
I don't know how, but this Bangers and Mashup is going on forever. This is like a TV show competition, like the X Factor or something.
Yeah.
And just as all this chaos is going on for them in London, what's the worst thing that could happen to Eldon? He gets a text from Talia. More confusion. And Talia, she's coming to London and she wants to see Eldon.
So of course Eldon can't focus whatsoever because he's in nervous shambles.
Yes. Because, he's all like, he needs to get to his chocolate now. Mm-hmm. He needs his coping mechanism. Okay, so cut back to Canada. Amanda is sitting in Riley's chair, leaving a note for Riley saying, I ain't going to show up for practice today. I'm going to spend the whole day with Noah.
Because I'm crushing.
Yeah, I'm crushing hard, and he's coming out of his surgeries now. So as this is happening, it's like a Twilight Zone, and Amanda's cousin comes in.
Oh, and this is one of the
strangest characters
ever. I have an explanation for it. Do you want me to do it now?
Yeah, let's address it.
Okay, well, this has to do with solid film theory.
Film theory.
Well, it's just thick film. This is going to get film theory-ish. Okay?
Oh, okay.
I thought that was the name of the film.
No.
So did I.
There's different types, because there's many different feels, like there's different ways of looking at it, right?
Right.
Okay. So in some type of films, right, you look at the camera as the objective observer, right? The audience is in the place of the camera, of what they are seeing is what is happening, right? The eye is the camera, It goes back to a scientific thing where the camera obscura, the original camera, sort of looks like how the process of the eyeball works.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, anyway, the point is, that is one theory of looking at it. But there's also another way of writing, in which case you can put the audience member as a character in a proxy for the audience.
Okay.
It's sort of like this Greek chorus sort of thing.
Right.
Where a character is a representative of the audience instead of the camera.
Uh-huh.
So it is not us. There's the observing audience.
A character represents the audience.
It represents the known audience, the one who isn't new. They know the world. They know it. They know of Jolly. They are the fans.
So they created this, they bring in this character named Cooper.
He represents the fan.
Who's British, which a large part of the fandom is British. And he's also a dancer. A large part of the fandom is probably dancers.
Yeah, and he wishes to be there.
And he wants to, see everything and see all the characters.
And he really wants to be with James.
Yeah. He is the proxy of
just like all of us.
Yeah, he just loves the realness of it, And he is the proxy for the fandom. He is the fandom.
Yeah.
And that's what the character, and that's why I like, so he comes in. And he's Amanda's cousin, I guess. And she's too busy. He's going to get a tour around the studio. And they're going to do it like by character by character. They're just going to keep passing him off to give the studio.
Whoever's there.
Yeah. So that way he interacts with the whole thing. And I really love his place in this episode. It's very nice.
Yeah, it's great.
Anyway, so back to London. It's chocolate time for Eldon. He's freaking out.
I've never thought of eating a whole chocolate bar as a coping mechanism.
I eat a whole chocolate bar just on the regular, so as a coping mechanism, I don't even know. I eat chocolate when I'm happy. I can't imagine eating when you're sad. That just ruins the effect of the chocolate.
I eat a chocolate bar when I have too much change in my pocket. I just want to get rid of some of it.
I did eat a chocolate. I ate some Reese's the other night after being blew my mind. For a really long time. I was really like sick of coding all day, so I just I went straight to Max and bought a Reese's.
You're fat. You should
and
be
then I sat in my room and ate it without showing you guys that I had it.
You should be ashamed.
Shame. Shame. So back in London, you know, Eldon's eating chocolate. He's freaking out.
Because Talia's showing up.
Yeah. And then knock, knock, knock. Here she comes. Talia has returned, and she's more glowing than ever.
Is that what the title of the episode is? Whoa, here she comes.
No, it says, here comes your man.
Man-eater?
No. Man-eater is a different song. You know that.
It's not Man-eater.
No, it would have said the words Man-eater.
It would have been...
And that, I think they've already used that song.
Have they?
Maybe. Yeah, they have.
Anyway, so Tally comes in, and Eldon is freaking out. So then West is all like, I'm getting out of here.
He goes all first season Emily crush on her right there.
Yeah. He's like, oh, job, 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 job.
All he lacks is the sign.
So then Eldon, you know, he's all like, yeah, you know, I've been with all sorts of ladies, maybe like 10 or 12 or whatever.
I lost count. I don't even count anymore. It's too much work.
Just like, this happens to me all the time.
And then Talia's all like, come on.
Be honest.
Come on. So as Eldon be lying at her like that, Talia just, she jumps that gun and she drops it. She's like, I hope you haven't stopped having feelings for me, because I haven't stopped having feelings for you. And then she drops it. The big three.
The big L word?
The big O. The big one. The big kahuna. Kakuna.
Get there.
Are you going to say it?
What? Get there. I'm not saying it. Never say it again. Forget it.
She says, I love you, Talon.
Yes.
And she faints several times.
Yeah, and then there's one of the most awkward scenes I've ever seen where he keeps
It's like one of those old, like, timey, like, the, what's that, like,
Charlie Chaplin? Is that
what you're Or, like, the original Nutty Professor.
Oh, sure.
You know? You know,
the exaggerated slapstick humor.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like a Dick Van Dyke sort of thing.
Right.
You know, like the chimney sweep from Mary Poppins. Slapstick. It was quite funny. And very sweet, you know? He's quite a nervous guy, and he faints, and then they have to get Wes back in there to wake him up.
And then Wes pours water on his face, and she's like, why isn't it working? And then he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then he's up.
And then he's up, and then...
Almost as if he faints often, Wes has to do this.
He could have whispered in his ear and been like, Daniel wants the solo, and then he would have woken up like that one scene. But they wake up, and Eldon confesses his love, and it is a beautiful, loving scene, and everything is happily ever after in every part of the show, right?
Not quite.
All right, cut back to Canada.
I think aren't as bright.
It's interesting that these episodes are entirely, like, all the ones we watched, other than the last one, were entirely focused on these, like, love relationships.
Yes.
And how, like, a bunch of them were going well, but it was, the balance. They had...
Yeah.
The fact that the one was going so bad, we had to balance it out with, like, three other love plot lines just to make us not feel awful.
So, well, I guess, you know, the love plot line with Noah awakes from his coma.
His
coma.
Surgery.
Okay, I thought we exaggerated a bit, make it more dramatic.
Life and death of it.
Okay, Noah wakes from his coma. He's, you know, and Amanda's like babying him. You know, he doesn't like it. You know,
it's very loving. You wouldn't appreciate that.
Noah, you know, it's in the beginning of their relationship. You know, he's trying to seem like a tough guy. He wants to have confidence.
He gets a little self-conscious.
Yeah, you know, so she has to feed him. You know, he's feeling bad about it.
He's got this girl in the bag, man. He doesn't need to. He can be himself.
I don't think that's a very healthy expression. just think about
that. He's got
that.
This girl in the bag. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it's a little classless.
Okay. What I mean is he can be himself now. Yeah. He doesn't need to be tough guy.
He's got this girl's hand in his hand.
Yeah. I think you should be yourself no matter what.
He's got this girl in an mutually mutual relationship where they both respect each other on an emotional and physical level.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, at this point, he's still, you know, having difficulty with it. So he gets a little too hard with her. He's just like, no, actually, can you please wait outside?
He pushes her away.
Yeah, he rejects her. And she, you know, she actually kind of acts a little mature. You know, she doesn't get all, I can't believe he's talking to me like that. You know, which sometimes you can expect, but it didn't happen.
Oh, Amanda's pretty chill.
Yeah, she's pretty chill. She's a lot chiller than she was before, you know? Back to our audience proxy, Cooper. And in all, and I guess it has to be our favorite scene of the four episodes we watched. He is talking to Rochelle at Java Junction, and they are breaking down One of the scenes we've always wished for. They're breaking down the story.
Reason, the reason all of the different names exist.
One of our favorite aspects of the show.
It is the best.
The story. And they broke it down.
So, okay, why was it called... What was it originally called?
It was called Squeezed because
she went to California.
Yeah, she went to Orange County.
Right. And then California. It was called...
California! Yeah!
And then it was called... What was the next one? So there's something before Culture Shock.
It was Culture Shock. No, it was...
No, it was Culture Shock, Hidalgo's...
It was Culture Shock because she went to Japan.
And then
she went to Japan, it was called Culture Shock. She went to Spain
for Hidalgo's.
And that's why she changed it to Hidalgo's.
Yeah.
And then she went
to Morocco.
Brazil.
Brazil.
And that's why she called it Java Junction.
Java Junction.
Yes. Was it Brazil or Colombia?
Colombia. Maybe it's Colombia. Yeah. Because they're more coffee oriented.
And then,
in what we're assuming here at the Talking Step is a reference.
Only be a reference to us.
We are taking credit for this.
This is a nod to us, guys.
Please. Let us indulge us in this.
they say that she has no idea what they're going to call it next year because she hears she's going to space.
There's a possibility they're going to space.
Intergalactic.
Let's say it. Wait. Everyone. 3, 2, 1. Hashtag intergalactics. There we go.
It's happening.
Confirmed.
I certainly hope that was a little wink in our direction, but you know, I don't want to be too presumptuous.
This week.
I hate to sound like that. I'm gonna say it's not a reference to us. Just so I have something safe to fall back on.
You just don't want to have an inflated pride.
Yeah, no inflated pride. I will not hold my head up high. But I think it's a funny joke either way that they talk about. Maybe next time they go into space. And Cooper says, "Oh, space! That's crazy."
Yeah. So what I want it from a future episode is.
Oh, now we're just gonna demand things.
Yeah. What I want from.
We're getting too big for a
future episode. Is to see now that this person is a character in the show, Keira Graves' mom.
Yeah, which I think so. Yeah, I think that's what Keira Graves.
So she's now in the show, the owner of Java Junction.
Yeah,
I want her to be returning from space.
Yeah,
and she's gonna be unveiling the new name. And we're gonna be the ones unveiling it, like us in the show. We're gonna be a big cameo from space. Yeah.
They're really gonna up the budget in the sixth season, huh?
No. We'll just be working. We'll be working at the new place, but we'll be helping rip down the sign. Like,
take another
reveal.
Nothing to see here.
We're closed. We're just background characters. We're just
in the scene where she reveals the new, and it's gonna be called Intergalactic. That's gonna be the new name of this.
Intergalactic. Space. I think they remember there was some better restaurant, like a space themed restaurant that was on a TV show once. Actually, no. Do you remember on The Weekenders?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, every week on The Weekenders, they'd have the restaurant would have a different theme. It was the funniest part.
I wonder if this has all been a reference to The Weekenders.
That'd be great because that was one of the best Disney shows I watched as a kid.
Sunday.
I loved it even more than Recess.
Monster Truck Rally. B.
Is that in The Weekenders?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they did it at some point.
Anyway,
we're gonna take credit for this possible wink.
Yeah.
With the air that we could be wrong and presumptuous about it.
Well, I'm sure we'll get it. We'll get
caveats galore.
We'll send a message to all of the people we know.
Let's send out some feelers. But it was awesome.
All right. Cool.
Anyway, so Cooper gets passed off to another one. Pipes and Alfie are trying to do their duet. They're practicing, but Pipes is throwing attitude. She's saying, like, "Oh, Alfie, is your mind really on the dance or is it on something else?" And Alfie's all like,
"What you talking about?
You don't know what you're talking
about." Yeah, like, "Hey, let's keep it profesh. Okay, let's keep it profesh.
This is for the studio. This isn't for us."
Yeah. Yeah. And
this is our only example of people practicing in all these four episodes.
But then, you know, Riley is there with Cooper and Piper's still snapping at
her.
Like, yeah, snapping at her hard. And Cooper's picking up on this because Cooper is in touch with the dynamics of the... Somehow, we just accept it because he's a proxy. He's in touch with the dynamics of the studio. So he sees that there could be something wrong with the great, the wonderful, the jolly.
Uh-huh. And this, he even says it. He says, well,
we're getting to that. We're getting to that, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I want
well, you really the, jumped the gun.
They've
there.
Dropped they've dropped references to the word on the show before.
Have
they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess.
The very first, the second season when they were just like, people have started calling us Jiley. So he's picking up on that. Back to Rickety visits the hospital. Old Rochelle visits Amanda at the hospital.
Yes.
And Rochelle, who was Noah's best friend platonically.
Hey, I'm just saying that Rochelle has to explain something to Amanda about Noah. Almost like she knows him better than Amanda does.
Because they're best friends. I'll admit that sometimes
a friendship... they deserve to be together.
Sometimes a friendship can be stronger than the beginning of a romantic relationship. That's possible. But there's a lot of future in Amanda and Noah.
Force love.
There was a scene before where Rochelle was watching Noah eat and Noah was all being gross about it and Rochelle was all like, no, thank you. I don't want to date him. And I'm pretty sure that sealed it. All right.
I'm just saying. Rochelle clearly knows more about Noah.
You know, you just, it's called being a best friend. Okay.
Okay.
Just like all us, right. Man. All just right. Like us.
Okay.
Anyway,
I guess I just Rochelle have to lays
it
the
out.
Pill.
Rochelle lays it out for Amanda. She's all like, you know, Noah just needs, you know, he feels incompetent right now because he's all weak and stuff. So you just gotta let him, you know,
deal with it.
Let him be. You know, don't be mad at him. Let's just let him work it out.
Yeah, it's all those drugs running through his system.
Accept it as it is. You know, and then Amanda does this adorable thing where she goes and she gets dressed up in her, what she deems a frumpy outfit, but to most seems casual, but, and she shows up to Noah, she says, this is me in the morning when I'm not all made up, and I want you to see the real me. And then Noah said that, he's like, oh, you know, it's very touching. Once again, touching moment. It's not all doom and gloom. Just the most important relationships are doom and gloom. And, you know, and they, together, they sit and watch, what was it, Robocop 3. Not Robocop, Robocop. Yeah. Cop 3.
It's the best one, apparently.
Yes. Well, when the Come rule on, of threes.
Has the Robodog.
Everyone knows the rule of threes always applies in
sci-fi films?
Sci-fi films, yeah.
Is that what you're trying to get to?
Really? Are you sure? Return of the Jedi?
Yeah.
Terminator
3 is the best Terminator.
I think you're just making this rule up.
Maybe Noah isn't really keen on what is the best of trilogies. Who's to say he's right?
It was Amanda that said it.
The Matrix 3.
Who's to say she's right?
Obviously.
The Matrix 3? Come on.
Is that Revolution?
I haven't seen in the Matrix.
Between Matrix 1 and 2, there's the anime.
No, Revelation.
What does that count as?
I don't even know.
I've only watched the first one, and I'm quite happy with staying right there.
Anyway, at the end of this episode, Riley decides she's had enough. She's going to call James, and who comes through the door?
James himself.
The James has come. Return of the James.
The James has landed? Is that what you were trying to say?
Sure. Next episode! It's a cliffhanger, and we all know where this is going.
All right. I took notes for this episode.
Episode 24, Tainted Love.
Whoa.
Matt.
Tainted Love.
Whoa.
Name that artist.
Marilyn Manson.
Incorrect.
Did a version of it.
It was originally performed by the 80s band Soft Cell.
Okay.
And you would know that if you had the name...
If I had access...
Memorized like Doctor Strange.
If I had access to Google like you did?
Actually, incorrect. It wasn't originally done by them. Wikipedia tells me that it was originally done... It was by a band called The Four Preps. Nope, wrong again.
Who's it by?
It was written by a band called The Four Preps. It was originally recorded by Gloria Jones in 1964, but gained worldwide fame covered by Soft Cell in 81.
And then more fame by...
There was a Marilyn Manson cover in 2001... And in 2013, it appeared in the game
Bioshock Infinite,
where it was composed by Scott Bradley, one of my favorite YouTube artists.
All right.
Postmodern Jukebox, check it out. Okay, so Tainted Love.
Okay, that was Tainted Love cast. Welcome back to the talking step.
I like song origins, okay?
I think we should continue to do that. Like, if we know the song or, like, know interesting things about the song.
Spinoff podcast, song origins and covers.
There we go.
With John and Matt.
It's like I listened to a Star Wars spinoff show for my main Star Wars podcast called Star Wars Oxygen, and they just talk about the music of...
I listened to a few episodes of that for my film music course.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I passed that class with a whopping 58%.
Oh.
I did not do well on that midterm.
Okay, good. Real good advertisement for their show, though.
Good effort. Good effort, I guess.
Okay.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I wrote here, who? Elfie. Oh, right.
good job.
We're always trying to interpret our notes. So James is like, who? Because he knows it's a guy. If there's another
man. Whoa. Okay, hang on. So she's all like, I kissed somebody.
No, she doesn't even say that. Okay. She's just like, I can't talk about it right with you right now or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he sees right through it and he's like, who? And she's like, Elfie.
Dun, dun, dun.
And he's just like, you know what? I gotta go. I don't want to talk right now. Right?
He just kind of takes off. He's distraught.
And then she says, like, I need time to think for it now.
Yeah.
She wasn't ready for to talk to
him. No, she wasn't ready to be confronted with him, like, immediately. Like, she didn't know he was going to be there, right?
Yeah, so he runs off, and then he goes straight to Piper, who is in, what's this studio called now?
Studio B?
As Theo.
That's what Theo called. It's called Studio A.
Studio.
But is it Studio B, the one with the mirrors?
That's, rehearsal room. No, rehearsal.
It's the rehearsal room?
It's kind of, I don't know.
Have we
exactly.
seen?
We've, this is
Studio
a highly
B is
kind thing.
Of out and, of the picture now, right? We haven't seen Studio
well,
B or a
the
person
thing is,
from
they used
Studio
to call
B.
one of them the music room, and then they stopped doing that because they stopped doing music in there, I think.
I don't know. So anyways.
They went to a separate studio. That wasn't Studio
So Piper comes to James, and she's like, oh, James, I wasn't expecting to see you. He's like, I'm always here for you, sis. And then they hug, and he's like being strong for her. Yeah. Even though, like,
he's feeling hard.
Yeah, he says he's heartbroken.
It hurts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It hurts. We're hurting. It's the death of Jiley before our eyes. We're hurting.
It shows that the deep love of siblings can pass all others or something.
I think. Keep your siblings close. You might be bickering with them now, but they'll be important to you later.
Yes.
Yes.
And then we get back to the London competition.
Bangers and the mashups.
And this time, Tally's in the crowd. We were expecting Tally to be dancing.
Yeah, I guess it's not a trio, though. It's still they still do it two at a time. They just want an alternate, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I guess you're allowed to lose an alternate. That's the whole point, right?
Yeah, so that was disappointing.
They could be next episode. Who knows how long this competition goes on for.
But I guess Tally is not really much of a breakdancer anyways.
Yeah, she's more
she's
jazz
just,
and rhythm, I think.
She's just kind of emotional support at this point, right?
Yeah.
So Alden's giving her the lovey-doveys, you know, I heart you.
But first it's West up to do breaking.
Yeah. West brings the house down.
With one of the best breakdances I've ever seen on the show.
With amazing flips.
Flawless. The other dude comes in.
Gives
a pretty good, better than we could ever do performance.
And then they lose. They lose.
It's a trick.
Actually, the team they're facing is called Double Decker, which is a clever name.
It's a great.
Like those Double Decker
sandwiches.
Buses in London.
Hey,
I got sandwiches on my mind.
Here in Ottawa, we have Double Decker buses. They're competing, right? I really think that the mask guy, he got that one wrong. West definitely
I do too.
Won.
But we also got the next two. We also think he got the next two wrong.
Yeah. When Alden does his performance.
I don't trust mask guy's judgment.
Yeah, it's weird that what we've discussed.
What are his
in the
credentials
past.
For this?
Yeah,
maybe it's like in his helmet there, like in his GoPro. That's it, like links to some type of YouTube.
Like
streaming
there's
thing.
Like a Twitch stream
like a
of
voting.
People voting. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a yes or no type of thing, like a funny or die sort of chart.
Okay, yeah, oh, okay, yeah it's like
sure.
that.
Yeah.
So,
but they're wrong too.
So he loses, and now it's all up to Alden. He's got to win twice in a row.
He's got to win twice in a row.
So we get back to Noah and Amanda at the hospital. And Noah's like laying in bed. He's all changed. He can leave.
Yeah.
He's been told by the nurse he can leave, but he's like, he doesn't want to confront his first kiss yet.
Yeah, he knows. He promised Amanda that kiss. He said, when I get out of this surgery, Amanda, I'm going to kiss you.
I promise you that.
And Amanda says, like, you better. And now Noah, this ultimatum it's about to happen. So Noah, he has to kiss her.
Uh-huh. Which is so hard. You can't force a kiss.
Yeah.
Kisses have to come organically. And as soon as you start thinking about it,
clearly...
You can't force a kiss. Of course you can't. That would be wrong.
You got a good way of looking at life, Michael. I like the way you think, boy.
You are the Dalai Lama when it comes to morals.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that.
So kisses to come up organically. Though. Okay, yeah. If you want you it to be beautiful,
you can't make. You can't just. You can't just say.
You can't force yourself to kiss someone.
Yeah, you can't just say, "Okay, we're gonna kiss now."
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but it'll be awkward and not as special. And he wants it to be special for his first kiss.
Yeah. No, it's very in his head like that.
And he wants to be special for her too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thankfully. There's a
mediator.
There's another guy in the room reading Lifestyle magazine with like a big turkey on the front of it.
a friendly stranger.
And he's just like, oh, just get it over with.
Mediating the situation. Tell him, get over it. He's come on, guys.
And close the curtain so I don't have to see.
Yeah. He literally wants him to close the curtain on this. Like, just get it over with. It's a symbolic thing.
Yeah.
And
he's probably thinking to himself. Finally. Kids, you're going to have so much bigger problems.
So Amanda does what she does best, and she does a little bit of hoodwinking, you know? But this time, she's not lying about not being at Elite. She's lying about, she says, we actually already kissed. I kissed you.
I never thought how this is actually
coma.
Part of her character.
You're
pulling this.
When he was asleep.
Whatever. It's more dramatic that way. So when you were comatose, Noah, I kissed you, and then Lifestyle magazine says, "Oh yeah, she did," and Noah loses his just like, "Oh well, I guess the pressure's not gone anymore," and they share a nice, beautiful, romantic kiss.
Yes.
And our hearts are lifted for a moment before we remember.
Crashing back down to earth.
Remember that life isn't fair.
In the next scene.
We can no longer live in a bubble.
Michelle. Wait, Riley, Michelle. Okay. Riley, Michelle.
Noah, and then Amanda doesn't hoodwink Noah for too long. She reveals the scheme. You know, it's not an entire lie. She reveals she never did kiss him. And, you know, it takes some negative connotations that could be taken out of there, you know.
So Riley and Michelle, or Michelle confronts Riley now that she knows.
Yes.
And it's like, dun, dun, dun. And all of a sudden, Elfie shows up in the room while Riley and Michelle are talking.
Yeah. Michelle finally shows up to show support for Riley. You know, she's saying, Riley, I got your back. You know, I'm your number two. I know you messed up. You made mistakes, but I'm your go-to girl and I'm gonna stick to that. Uh-huh. And then
both at the same time, James and
Clash of Kings.
James and Elfie show up in the room at the same time.
It's him.
It is just the most
you could hear
upsetting moment.
You could cut the tension with a knife.
Yeah.
Cliche, cliche, cliche.
You could blank the blank with a blank. And I love it. I love it. I love the drama.
Yeah, but Riley just like, Elfie, go rehearse. Go back to the rehearsal room. And then
we got this.
And then James is like, I gotta leave. I'm leaving. And that's basically how the scene ends. It's kind of, nothing gets resolved in that scene. It's kind of just a confrontation.
It's a face-off.
It's an everyone knows moment.
It's more tension building.
Yeah.
I was going to make a Game of Thrones reference, but I will hold it off. I will withheld that reference. It is not relevant. Let's continue.
So
I'm just saying it's like that fight. It's like that scene before a battle where you have a little conference.
So now we're into the second part of the of this dance off with Eldon and West against the double deckers, and this time it's tricking. First they were doing breaking. Now they're doing tricking.
Tricking.
Breaking and tricking.
Tricking and breaking, breaking and tricking.
And next is treating. Not a joke. And then so Eldon does some tricks, like flips and stuff. And you know what? I do have a bit of a criticism.
Dun-dun! After they throw us a bone and give us a possible wink, Michael, you're going to criticize the show. How dare you? Continue, please.
I'm going to criticize it because I know Eldon's got flow. And in this dance, he was just doing flips without any flow. I wasn't feeling the flow.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of like a distorted dance. It was kind of separated and disjointed, and it didn't really work.
Would you say this was a dance without soul? Do you say maybe there was a little soul missing? Maybe because someone else is holding his soul?
What?
What if Eldon can't dance if he's in love? That's the root of
it. Well, he won, so.
His soul is ruined by another. Okay, well then maybe in your opinion, Michael. It was a good thing up until that point.
Yeah, so he wins handily.
Maybe he can dance with soul then. I don't know.
Talia's just giving him those eyes throughout this entire thing. He keeps cutting to her, just giving these wide eyes of like...
Love. Love will keep us together.
Yeah, exactly.
That love ain't tainted.
Oh, and it's actually here that Amanda and Noah finally kiss. It's at this point.
Yeah, well, we rushed through the story, you know? It's plot line by plot line.
And then we cut back to Eldin for the third round, and I didn't catch what this style was, but...
Yeah, neither did I. I didn't catch
but they dance, and Eldin wins again, and they move on to the finals for bangers and mashups.
Yeah.
And the longest competition ever done on TV. I actually said that during the show and while we were watching, and then you point out to me that there's actual shows based around competition, so I was totally wrong.
Specifically about dancing.
How about the longest competition ever done in a drama television show?
I don't know. Has there been a drama television show about a dance competition?
About
vocal? No, I meant a TV show dance competition.
Yeah, but usually it's like they go from section to section. This has been one location... One competition, and it's been happening forever.
There's an episode of Black Mirror where they do a hypothetical dance competition show where there's no progression. It's just audition by audition. So there's no, like, who's gonna... They don't, like, pick a bunch of people and pluck them off. It's just every episode someone auditions and does something stupid. Three judges are like, no, you did it wrong.
It's like how I used to only watch the audition parts of American Idol. Yeah. Because those were the
funniest. That was an episode in Black Mirror, which is a whole thing. But yes, so, that's the closest we've got.
So we reached the end of episode 24 here, and it's James dancing his feelings out, and Elfie is there in like his mind.
Yes,
but
it's mirrorist.
This is where we go. This is what always makes me excited about these.
It's Doctor Strange. He's in the mirror dimension.
Yeah. This is what always makes me excited about these dancing feelings out scenes.
Yeah.
Is lately they've been doing a lot of like switching up. And what James does is he starts rapping.
Yeah.
And we were like, whoa, what's he doing?
Well, these dance things, they've always blended the lines between physical and abstract, you mm-hmm. know? Like they're always like, you never really know if they're really dancing or like who's dancing. If the music's there, who's there, mm-hmm. you know? Like the thing with Maruji, whenever they're dancing in the mirror.
But what I really appreciate about that is because this dance was the most dancing their feelings out dance of the show so far, in my opinion.
Because they got lots of feelings.
And it was so much so that the dance wasn't enough. He needed to rap. And and as you know, like rapping is like...
I you know what? I was a little included.
Like this multi-level
He started the scene by saying, I'm here to really just wrap my head around all this. And my first thought was, is he going to rap? And he did.
Yeah.
And
actually, it works so well. And that's kind of how it ends. The episode ends with just him being upset. Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, and you know, it's like, it's all up in the air again. Mm-hmm. But hopefully he's come to a conclusion. And at the start of the next episode, we find that he has. All right, episode 25?
A Fool in Love.
A Fooled Around.
I don't think that's what it is.
It's a different song, I know. A Fool in Love. I'm pretty sure.
A fool around and fell in love.
Nope, once again, that's not.
A fool around and fell in love. I think we nailed it.
A Fool in Love is a Tina Turner song. Or a Rihanna song.
Nothing is original.
Either way, let's just take it. Back to it. So
Jiley chats.
Oh, wait. Back it up. Rewind. We forgot one integral thing.
Oh, what?
Cooper talks to Riley about the integrity of Jiley.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it.
Yeah, but we talked about like with that exact scene where Cooper says to Riley what we all want to say to Riley.
Right.
He says, if there's something wrong with Jiley,
just talk
I know
you just
got
to talk to him. Yeah. You can figure anything out.
You're Jiley. And he names it. Like, you have to figure it out.
And you know what? That makes her feel better. But in the next episode, she seems to completely forget about that advice.
She uses the advice, but then ignores it.
That's why he's the real proxy, you know?
Yeah, we're just mad at Jiley. We're mad at Riley at this point.
Yeah, we want her to make the right decision, but we understand, you know, she's human, you know? It's flawed. She's flawed.
But the way I don't know. I feel like...
He says what we wants to say.
I'm upset with Riley for how she takes things here.
Yeah.
I don't know what's right, but But I think that she should have just ended it with James if she was even going to think about pursuing anything with Alfred.
Right. But she still sees the future. Well, let's just say.
Okay. Let's go.
It starts off, you know, Jolly's in shambles, but Riley doesn't know what to do. She's sitting in her office. James comes in, and he says,
I've had time to think about this, and I love you.
Yeah, I love you. You forgave me when I kissed Beth. I'm willing to work this out.
People make mistakes.
Which is, you know, it seems almost like a dream sequence.
It's perfect.
So beautiful. It's exactly what you want
to say. It's exactly what he should have said.
Yeah.
He says it, and what does she do?
The first thing she says, she saps the energy right out of the moment where we're like, oh my goodness, they're actually going to make up. It's going to be amazing. And she goes, are these feelings for Alfie are confusing, but what if it was, this thing I did with Alfie was a mistake, but what if these feelings aren't? Right? I think is what she says.
She says, I want to see where this happens. I just need some space to figure this out right now. But I don't want to break up. It's questionable. It's David. I don't want to be like a Riley apologist, but like, you know, it's questionable things. But you see how confused she is. You know, she knows in her heart of hearts, she knows there's future in Riley. She knows
She's conflicted. So she goes to Michelle.
Yeah.
To try to sort out her feelings.
Which is, I get Michelle's her best friend, but Michelle has had bad experience in these exact circumstances.
She goes to Michelle and she says, Michelle, I love James, but I only kind of like Alfie.
What is Michelle? Much like Hunter and Eldon.
Do you know what Michelle says, John? Do you remember?
You better figure it out because this is a huge deal.
Michelle for the rest of doesn't your life.
She just like puts the weight of the world on this decision.
Eventually, she like talks her through it. She boils it down to like what like. She helps her through it a little bit, but initially she's a very abrasive. She's like, well, you better figure it out. This is a huge deal. Michelle hasn't had the best experience with dealing with this situation before, so yeah, it's better, but...
Yeah.
You know, Riley's got a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm. And this brings us to, I think, I want to ask the panel here. If you've been in a relationship with someone for a really, really long time and you do love them, should you even like bother considering other feelings?
Well, I don't know.
If you're not
like
married.
It depends on the type of person. If you plan on marrying this person and you're like, I still have feelings for this other person, maybe I should work this out so that there will be no resentment if I do marry this person. You could see that frame of mind, but you can see another frame of mind where you'd be like, if you ever really loved this person, you wouldn't even have the thought of even toying with or amusing the idea of another one.
That's so true.
It's such a subjective and person-by-person basis that you never really can put a label on it.
Yeah, I guess none of us have been in this situation, so we can't really say. It's tough.
You know,
Feelings are a difficult thing
to throw away.
But feelings doesn't necessarily mean behavior. Just because you feel something doesn't mean you have to act
exactly.
on it.
Can I read a
quote? And that's what I have against Riley right
can
now.
Can I read a quote to you?
Sure.
Love hurts. Love scars. Love wounds. Love harms.
Thank you, John.
By the band Nazareth.
Okay.
I love that song. Okay. I got deep. You know, that's sort of like Riley's just trying to figure it out. And James is just like, oh, okay. I threw you a life. Threw you a life preserver.
I gave you a chance.
We're on the coast of the Titanic. You know, you fall off the side. And I threw you a life preserver and you swatted it away.
Yeah, which is upsetting.
So, Riley wants some space and C wants to work it out. Okay. So we go back to an old storyline of old Slamy. Amy and LaTroy. Oh, wait, no, that's not right.
No, it's Slamy.
We go back to an old storyline of LaTramy. Right? LaAmy, yeah. Country boy LaTroy is off. He's building a house in the country with his dad, and he's Skyping or face chatting or Google duoing with his dad.
My dad's finally gone. I have time to call you.
Yeah. he makes me work all the time on this house. We're never done. So they're all, he feels homesick, or wait, didn't they use a word for it?
Studio sick.
No, they had some fancy word for it.
It's what happened. When a next
the
stepper,
fear of missing out.
Yeah, he's Momo.
When a next stepper is away from the studio for more FOMO, than 50
yeah,
minutes.
Fear of missing out. He's a FOMO.
YOLO.
Yeah. YOLO. YOLO FOMO. The point is, Amy tries to bring the studio to him, so they do she essentially, you know, gives him a little clip show.
I like to think that when you leave the next step, you get serious withdrawal. And it's so intense that sometimes you just don't go to school and you just live at the next step all the time.
It's like, so intense. Like, you know, like when Cooper was there and he finally had his chance to dance, you know, like that was so meaningful for him.
Yeah, he was a good dancer.
Yeah, he said, like, maybe one day I could dance at the next step. And that's what you want. That's what you want the proxy of the audience to be.
Yeah,
like,
I want Cooper back next season.
Well, I want him one episode a season to give his two cents.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really felt it. You know, he really wanted to dance there in a very meaningful scene. So, yeah, so LaTroy wants in, so Amy gives him a little, you know, guest stars. Here's a little bit Michelle. Michelle does a little dance for him to show how Michelle has gotten better because of LaTroy's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool.
Henry's there, you know, he does it a little bit.
They do this, like,
weird sign language.
Pseudo sign language tutting thing.
Yeah.
Where they're able to understand each other with tutting. Yeah,
long time no tut.
Long time no tut.
You texted me that once when we hadn't seen each other in a few weeks, and I had no idea what you meant.
Yeah.
Long time no tut.
I sent you a bunch of hand symbol emojis, and...
You know how I feel about emojis,
man.
You
a word of
them.
Have I said this before on the podcast? That we live in a world where your last words can be an emoji. So just,
that's true.
Just don't use
Very much sounds like something you could read on the internet said by something else.
Yes.
So, so then
doesn't
like,
matter. It's truth.
There's a little awkwardness of like
truth spends like wink. Fire.
great. There's a little awkwardness with like Sloan. You know, she like she doesn't know if she can talk to LaTroy over the thing, but they figure it out. You know, and eventually, like they have a nice little Skype conversation. It very much reminds me of not in a romantic sense, but in the sense where in the seasons of The Office when Jim moved to. The Nashua branch or the other branch.
Yeah, but the other branch that Rashida Jones is in?
Yeah.
I can't. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he moves to the other branch and at one point he and Pam call each other and they have a nice little conversation. And it's just that one little moment. You know, it doesn't really lead to much, but it's very nice. So, okay. So, what's left of the episode, Riley's giving Alfie, you know, his shot at goal, right? You know, so Alfie pulls out his guitar and
he
sweeps his pretty hair out of his pretty face and he's like, I wrote a song for you because I'm talented and creative. And he sings with his beautiful voice and, you know, it's sweet
and
stuff.
And he's like, look at me, I can play the guitar and James can only play the drums. I'm better.
I wasn't reading that part.
But James is actually in a band.
And then Riley's all like,
I guess
you know,
he quit the band, didn't he?
No, he's still there.
Oh, no, he...
We don't know yet. We don't know.
We don't know the timeline of this.
But Riley is all like, hey, you know, hey, that was beautiful. You know, I'm having a great time. And then Alfie's all like, okay, so let's start this train a going. Let's start shoveling coal into that engine and let's move this train.
And then she gives him the cold shoulder too.
Riley's all like, I'm still trying to figure all this out. And then Alfie who hasn't gotten to the... He reacts sort of in the same way as James in a way. He's all like, oh,
don't
okay.
Waste my time.
So you're just going to sit on the fence like that. You're just gonna put your toe in both pools. You know? That's not how I play it. And he shows his frustration.
Yeah, I'm glad that he has some backbone here.
He says, don't pull on my heart. Don't play a riff on my heartstrings.
Don't play my heart with my heart.
Don't go breaking my heart.
Yeah. And then, so, this leads to this climactic metaphor dance, you know? Riley's dancing. She is, as this, at the constant of the show, Riley's dancing her heart out, the most meaningful ones. And it is metaphor on top of metaphor. She's seeing reflections of James. She's seeing reflections of Alfie. The duality of her existence it's splitting, it's traumatic. And then, at the peak of this, she's full of emotion, and she doesn't know what to do.
And who's standing
behind And what
her?
Happens? The moment we've all been waiting for. The return of the queen. Emily returns to the next step.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Can you put in some music over that?
Yeah. Well,
celebration. Can we put in some celebration?
She's gone!
No, we can't do it now. We'll do it after her story arc's
over. She's gone is what I played last time we saw her.
We'll do it when her story arc's over. But, oh my goodness. Oh, what a way. What a cliffhanger.
Alexandra Beaton's back from shooting her travel vlogs. Yes.
She's shooting her travel vlogs and her upper class bourgeoisie hole videos. And we knew this was coming because we saw the set photos and stuff, but still, regardless, the moment was perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
It was beautiful, and she's returned to save the day. She is going to save the studio from itself.
Sister needs sister.
SNS. Just as back in when Riley...
Wait, yeah, isn't that an actual thing from the show, Sister Needs Sister? Yeah,
when Riley saved Emily from herself back in the day, now Emily is back to return the favor and to save Riley.
All of this is a much bigger deal than anything Emily dealt with.
And it was wonderful. And we cannot wait for the next episode. I am psyched because this is, it's almost like it's
this is going to be slow clapping to applause.
Yes. Well, we're going to have applause.
I didn't, like, these are some of the most intense scenes we've seen in the entire series.
Yeah.
It's good.
And following this, the episode that just aired was a very nice, very poignant PSA bullying episode.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was an anti-bullying episode.
It was like showing a bunch of different situations and how you could deal with them and how people feel.
We don't have much to say because it's not very canon, but like it was very nice. Very had a very nice message.
I'm happy that they used their platform to do this.
They've done that before, you know, with they've done that stand up to bullying thing where they've done dances across the nation.
The other thing that really works is all the characters are established, so it's easier for the kids to empathize with them.
Yeah.
So when someone's being put down, they can kind of feel that the sting of it a bit more.
Yeah.
Than if it was just arbitrary new faces playing the role.
Yeah, it reminds me of like, you know, back in the day we used to, I think there was like an Arthur one or something.
I think so.
I think there was like a, do you remember like Rainbow Fish?
Oh, man.
That's a callback.
I forgot about that show.
Yeah, Rainbow Fish.
Rainbow Fish.
Yeah, Rainbow Fish had a bullying episode, I think I recall. But yeah. And it was,
I think I need a visual cue.
You don't remember Rainbow Fish, Matt?
I think I need a visual
cue. Next step usually follows a lot of anti-bullying themes, but it's very nice that they did a very, you know, it's a PSA, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very nice and very poignant. And
I like how Amanda addresses the fact that her character used to be a bully.
Yeah, I remember Rainbow Fish.
We just watched a promo for the next episode and everything we could imagine. Piper's angry at Alfie still, but Emily is here.
Emily's laying down the law.
Not messing around.
She says everything I says goes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You better listen up because I'm about to order you
around. It's about time someone's ordering Riley around again.
Her order is up because she's about to get served.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I am psyched.
Yeah, that's going to be sweet.
You know, I can't wait for 2 months from now when we record the next episode.
So, John.
2 months from now.
You said while we were watching the show that there was some big announcement you needed to tell me.
Okay, yeah. So, there's a big thing. Actually, you know what? It's a little good news, bad news.
Okay.
It's part two, just announced right now. We read it as we were watching the episode. Part two of Lost and Found Season 1 will premiere on Netflix.
Oh, yes.
On December 3rd. Everywhere outside of the UK and Canada.
Of course. So it's the same as it was before.
And it said almost...
Wait, when?
December 3rd.
Oh, soon.
For them.
Yeah.
Proxies aren't a thing anymore, Michael. But it said almost in a kind of jaded sense on the poster, it said at UK and Canadian steppers... Ask your local channels when they will be broadcasting the episodes.
Yeah.
So it's more of a thing for us. So it's more of an up in the air sort of thing. So they don't know when it's gonna premiere.
Typical.
Yeah. You know, on the Disney Channel or something, or on iTunes, when it's gonna be released.
Okay.
So who's know? But it will be out there. It will be in
the
ether. You know. But either way, it's out there.
Yeah.
And so it's a rule. I'm psyched.
I'm actually really psyched. We'll watch it together this time, John.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, you say that now.
You have no maybe, time for us maybe, anymore, Michael.
No, next semester.
The
we can
Lost
watch
and
it
Found
again.
Is a thing you gotta just binge it. You know, you can't do it. You can't.
You gotta plow through.
You can't cat step around. Okay, it's time for listener email.
Listener email!
You know, our listeners have been, you know, I don't think they like these little breaks we take. You know, I think there's an understanding that, you know, we're university students.
It turns out when you don't release episodes on a regular basis, you lose your fan base.
Most likely, if we were like a normal set of friends or something, we'd have all been in the same major and we all would have had the same courses and stuff and the same schedules.
Yeah.
Ideally, but that's just not how the world works.
So we're like all, one of us is home or two of us are home. So it's never like all of us are here together at the same time to record.
Yeah. It's a hard thing, but enough excuses. We're not here to apologize.
We need to live up to what we've done, like Riley did.
You know, we're putting our talk in where our step is. Wait, save that for the ending. Okay, we've got a few emails. We got one. Can I read this one? It just says from Norm the Niner.
Okay.
... I need your partnership. I don't know what that means.
There's no link to a shady website either.
and in the subject line it reads email. Okay, this is not a mocking thing. This looks like it may just be spam. But interesting. It's from an EDU account.
Okay. .edu.
Unless they really need our partnership and they don't know how to.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Maybe they need the partnership.
Email us back with what you want.
With more than just three words.
I think we just failed, Matt. It was four words.
It four words?
Yeah, it was an edu account where they were seeing if we could count.
Oh, and the latte writes in. Okay, hello, guys. I can certainly relate to Noah, seeing how I'm having surgery on Monday. This is very nervous, and by the looks of the trailer, I would probably act the same way. By the way, this was written in August. Oh no, this was written in October 22nd. This was before a couple episodes premiered.
All right.
So this is a little backdated because we're behind. This is very nervous, and by the looks of the trailer, I would probably act the same way. However, I did personally feel like Michelle being mean to Piper, and Piper not truly talking to Amy and Cassie and everyone else in the 0% Club is only fueling the drama, not stopping it. About my Intergalactics book, I have decided to delete it. However, I will be making a next step, Intergalactics roleplay on Wattpad, so yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. This guy, he's written about that he was writing a story about Intergalactics before. Do you recall this?
And why? I know, I don't remember that.
Oh, well, he was talking about it, but I guess he's changed his mind on it. No, he changed his mind. He didn't like it.
So he's writing a new one.
He's doing a different type of thing on Wattpad. So check that out. I don't know which name he's under, but... Okay. With what Michelle said, do you agree with it? Do you agree with Piper with blocking everyone else out? So, initially, do you guys think that Piper was right in keeping everyone else out of the Riley kissed Alfie thing?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more important.
You gotta keep that in the family.
I've experienced cheating as in. I had a girlfriend who did once, apparently. Like, she loved me. But she was in a relationship with someone for 1 to 2 months while me and her were in a relationship. However... I was the one she was in love with. Have you ever had anything like that happen to you?
I haven't.
No, I have no experience.
Come on, be real with the audience, John.
I have had experiences like that, and I'll tell you that, you know, it's, when you get older, you learn more of a perspective on it, and you learn, you know, you realize that was a forming experience in your life, and even though it was bad, and you felt bad at the time, is that you can take what you've learned and be able to recover from it, because... You know, in the end, some of these feelings are temporary, and you'll be able to learn from these, and...
Move on.
Good.
Being able to look back on yourself in high school, whether thinking, I'm better than that person, or, you know, it changes by person to person, but, you know, it's an okay experience to have, and you're not alone in that. Many people have experienced that, and it's hurtful, but it's people have moved past it.
Yeah.
And there's a future. There's always a future. Keep up with the great podcast. And by the way, when you guys said you were going to do a podcast in August and you didn't, I kind of got mad at a bit And you guys, since I needed your podcast to help me with my 8+10-hour bus ride trip to Prince Edward Islands.
Oh, wow.
With 48 other people. Oh, yikes. Man, can you...
I thought he was going to say, I needed you when I was going for my surgery, and I was going to be really sad.
Now, Owen, this... I'm gonna question it. I'm pretty sure you can't take a bus to Prince Edward Island, okay? I'm not seeing the logic there, so I'm not... I don't know. Ferry. Am I wrong about that? They put a bus on a ferry?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Sure.
So what do we... is that it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Some of which I literally just met on the trip, but they were related to either my uncle or my soon-to-be aunt. However, I managed to cope and listen to your earlier podcast. I'm no longer angry at you. The backlog
saved us.
However, I did survive, but I want your thoughts on season 4.5 and who your favorite character was in the episode and your favorite ship in this episode. I swear, if someone says Rochelle or Nochelle, I'm going to laugh so hard. Ba-bum-bum.
We're all looking at Matt as we said that.
Well, hang on. What was the relationship in that first episode? It was...
Is he talking about 22?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, we already talked about it, right?
Yeah, I would say...
I'm all about that Amanda and Noah stuff. That was Norm's.
Which was totally in there. Yeah, I would say, you know, I think I'm a... I know Piper is in a bad place, but I think she's reacting pretty well and rationally to it. And, yeah. You know, it's hard for her, and I think she's handling it well, especially for someone her age. And that's who my favorite character was in that particular episode. All right. Thank you, Owen.
Well, sending good vibes your way with the surgery. Let us know how it went, if it went well.
Hopefully. Rainbow writes in. Hi, guys. I've just found your podcast and find them hilarious. It's so hard not to laugh on the bus while listening to them. I'm an English stepper, but don't mind about the spoilers that happen as I know Canada are ahead. So my questions are, how would you like to see Noah's back injury play out? Do you want him to be out for regionals like Emily and Daniel both have been in the past? Or would you like to see him perform?
What it's seeming
now... He's gotta take a break. You know, it sucks. He's a great dancer and everything, but you just gotta take a break sometimes.
He's gotta take a break.
But the way it's seeming is that... it's taking so long in between this next one that I think he'll have time to recover. But maybe I'm thinking like they'll qualify without him, and then he'll perform in the big final.
Noah isn't Daniel, you know. Daniel, he had an attitude problem on top of his injury, and Emily was meant for a higher role than just a regular dancer anyway. So,
and Noah has a pride problem, but I think he's getting over it.
And he's got alien abilities, so he's probably going to heal super fast.
Yeah, he's probably got a healing factor. He's like an X-Men.
Yeah, he's like Wolverine.
Yeah.
Okay, number two. I love Nomanda. I also slightly ship Nochelle, but I think that's more due to knowing Bryles is a real thing. That helps, you know, knowing that Briar and Miles are actually dating in real life.
Yeah, I wonder how...
Yeah.
It must be interesting how
it's happened
that
on many
works.
Shows back in the day, like, you know, OC... As we've referenced before, the two main characters on the show were dating there, and then they stopped dating on the show and started dating in real life, and then they reversed that. It was all over the place. Such drama.
Mm. Yeah.
Such drama. They said the set was poisonous.
Did did Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone ever date?
I think... No. Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams were together.
Oh, okay.
Like this matters.
I'm just really excited for La La Land.
But what other members of A-Troop would you ship? Like to see together. That's something that they're not really paying attention to, but there's not much there, you know. All you really have
you just
is
have
like,
Amy and LaTroy.
Yeah, which but no, I meant like the other characters, the unknowns, like Henry and Cassie.
We got enough relationships
I guess that's it, right?
You can only spend so
Who's
much
Who's not in play?
You can only spend so much time on the screen talking about relationships, right?
I would say maybe like, I don't know, Piper and Henry, that's a possibility. Nothing wrong there.
Yeah,
I've never seen them talk to each other.
I haven't seen any.
I would like to see a lot of mashing up with Lost and Found characters, but that's a whole
bring in more Lost and Found
characters. It's too confusing. Yeah, it's just like you know, my wish is on. I wish in the
we got our Michelle and
in the Marvel universe. I wish them for them to reference the Netflix universe, and I wish for the movies to. I wish it for them to go in vice versa. I want
the
movies to reference the Netflix and the Netflix to reference
the movies.
They do reference
them.
It won't happen. No, they never do. They never really do.
Theo came into this episode.
Oh, I meant Marvel. This one they do. But I'm talking about like solid, like keeping them all together, like in an awesome, like a mashup episode.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have done something for that, for the bullying. You've done like a big thing like that.
Yeah,
but
that would be cool.
Who knows?
I mean, that's a lot of schedules to juggle. They're already juggling enough schedules.
Matt, do you want to see any relationships together? If you say Nochelle, I swear.
Nichelle is the only one that matters to
me. Wow. Number three. Inspired by your podcast, I've just started writing reviews on my blog for every episode, starting from season one, episode one.
Cool.
Nice. Any advice for anyone wanting to vent their thoughts and feelings? I'm not the most coherent person, as you can possibly tell. Okay, well, yeah, when you're writing a blog post, you know, you want to write, you know, first off, write the thoughts that are in your head. Just write your stream of thoughts down. And then sort of proofread it. Go through it. Think about what you want to say and what you can say clearer. And, you know,
refine it.
Yeah. Try to read it as someone who isn't fully aware of your situation and be able to have a context.
Uh-huh.
And if people are able to fully understand what you're talking about, then they're able to communicate, and we're able to, you know, there's better feedback, and
there's many
thoughts
times,
and feelings being processed better.
There's many times where I've written something and then realized only I understand, because I won't be descriptive enough about what I'm talking about. So sometimes you have to talk as if the other person doesn't know what you're talking about. Although on this show, sometimes we always talk as if people have seen the episode.
Yeah. Sometimes we like to, you know, do a little spell some things out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's all about refining and knowing your audience.
But
you just got to know who you're writing for.
And also be... I find it nicer if a blog post or like a review is more conversational. Yeah. Like, write as if you're talking to the reader, not just like, and this was good, and then this was good.
And always write with like construction to it. You know, don't just be mean for no sake. Make sure there's like a reason. Say like, I didn't like this and maybe it could be better this way, you know? Don't just always... You know, yell at the darkness, you know, turn on a flashlight, shine some light on it, you know, you can be negative, but balance it out, you know?
Well, John, what do you know the...
TNS Review Blog .wordpress.
Yeah, check that out.
Check it out.
Hopefully
you got a few nice
more.
Summaries there. Okay. Next, thanks. Jaden writes in. Hey guys, I haven't emailed you guys in a long time, but since season 4 started up, I thought it would be good to ask you some questions and share my thoughts. So I watched the latest episode of Next Step, season 4, episode 5 of Fool in Love, and I'm just going to put it out there. I officially hate Riley's character.
Oh! Now.
Parentheses, all the love for Brittany, though. It's not her fault.
Of course.
Yes, because she didn't write the show. I know they need drama to spice up the show, but why are the writers making Riley a bad character? I don't want to spoil anything in case you haven't watched it, but pretty much James' heart got broken in this episode.
Yeah.
I personally think James should be mad at Elfie. I know it's a kid's show, but I wish they could actually argue and swear and fight. Well, they're not going to fight. They might argue.
I was waiting for James to jump across that table and punch Elfie in the face.
They could show a little bit of aggression, but definitely like in the recent episode with the anti-bullying thing. I'm sure they're going to find a way to process it more thoroughly than the fighting. But okay, so she continues. I also think Elfie should apologize to James because if he just stole her girl, and then he should go back home, lol. She wrote lol.
Go back home to his castle.
And then he should go back home, yeah. Lol, Riley needs to do something nice for James because he's done so much for her. She just repays him by cheating and breaking his heart. He's given her everything in his power to make her happy, and she's just been a bee to him. Ooh. Spicy language there, Jaden. We can't read that anymore. I don't really care about the other plots, to be honest. I just am interested in where this love triangle will go, and I hope Jaden will be okay. That is true. So do we.
Don't get your hopes.
Wait, dot, dot, dot. Actually, no. James deserves better. She tricked us. Riley, you can have Elfie all you want. James, it's time to move on.
Bam.
Those were my thoughts. Now my questions are...
Now steal Talia from Eldon.
Okay, we'll do some speed round questions, because she has 5. Do you think Jaylee should get back together with James, and why? Yes, I do, because they belong together forever.
I'm not sure. I feel like Riley has been taking too long to deliberate.
Do you think Riley's decisions are fair? She's confused, but, you know, I could sort of see where she's coming from.
Which decisions?
Michael.
I think that they are not fair to either party.
Oh, okay.
I think she should just stick with one and
she shouldn't sit on the fence.
You just shouldn't, in this situation, you shouldn't sit on a fence because the longer you sit there, the more the hearts get broken and whatnot.
Right.
Okay.
Thoughts on Jelfy, the James and Elfie relationship. Well, I don't think it's romantic, but I think they've got some tension, but possibly they could
work
it out.
Do you want a straight up fight, like verbal fight between
it's
them?
It's never going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
Are you going to take
Elfie's more noble than that, and, you know, James is more character.
Okay.
You know? They're gonna not dance it out, but they're gonna. There's gonna be some.
It's too serious to dance.
There's gonna be some settling.
Okay.
How do you think Emily will help out at the studio? If you've seen that latest episode, I think she's gonna come down. She's gonna lay out the rules, and a lot of people are gonna be all like, "Who is this? And who does she think she is?" And then Emily's gonna be all like,
"Who's this random girl? We don't know."
Emily's gonna be like, "This is just how it is, and I'm here to right the ship. Okay, the ship is tipping over, and it's gonna fix. And I'm gonna fix it."
Yeah,
Michael.
I think Emily is going to, like, just take Riley away on, like, a vacation to Europe for a few days.
Where did the...
Just like Alexander Beaton and her boy Brandon.
Where did the captain's book go?
Rochelle has it.
Rochelle has it. Because Emily entrusted it.
What do you think Emily's going to do? Do you think she'll right the ship or cause chaos?
Well, I think she's going to right the ship.
Oh, okay. Who knows? She could throw fire to the flames. Okay. Do you think there should be another moment between James and Emily? Last one. Six. Any storyline predictions for the show? Well, we've predicted a whole bunch of storylines, so we got that covered. I think there will be a moment between James and Emily. There has to be, right? Emily's going to be all like, okay, James, let's, you know. It won't be long. It might only be one scene.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that after this whole MASH, Bangers and MASH tournament is over, it's the last we'll see of Elton and West and Talia?
No, I don't think so. Maybe. But no, they still have, there's more story to tell.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Side note, OMG, a Gemily scene would be amazing. I can just picture James coming to talk to Emily about Riley and how he's sad.
Yeah.
He would say
that, I would like that.
I love your sister, but she just doesn't feel the same way. Then she would give him some good advice, and that would be so sweet, but sad all at the same time. I like that too.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry for the long email, and I hope you all have a wonderful day and night. We will. Thank you, Jaden.
Thanks for emailing us, Jaden.
All right. One last email. Longtime listener and writer, Gracie writes in.
Oh, Gracie.
Hey, guys. It's Gracie. I've wrote a few times before, but not in a while. So here is an email to you. I'm so happy you and the Next Step are back. Though I'm from England with all the and I'm with all the episodes. And my is there a lot of drama. I really loved the bullying episode, even though it was a filler. Being a huge Rochelle and Briar fan, I was happy that she got more screen time, seen as she never does.
Yeah, that was true.
Yeah, she really works in the dynamic of that, you know?
Because she kind of plays a bit of a bully character in some of those episodes earlier this season.
Also, I enjoyed seeing kind of her proving all those haters that she does have a heart. There is a difference between bullying and having some sass. And I'm glad that you confirmed she knows bullying is wrong. Hashtag dancing off the haters.
Nice. Hashtag Rochelle didn't know wrong.
There is a difference between bullying and having some sass. And I'm okay. I missed all your weird and wacky hashtags. Hashtag intergalactics. Hashtag historical or whatever. Also, I'm holding on to Rochelle, even though it's a platonic friendship anyway. The writers have confirmed that their friendship will be touched on, so I think they have some kind of plot, so I'm hyped for it. I feel with Rochelle and Noah, they have so much in common, parentheses, being in J-Troop, overlooked, wanted to be in A-Troop so bad, end parentheses, yet they couldn't be more different, and I like that their friendship, they need each other. Hashtag no shell forever. Sorry for the rant. I know it's annoying. Getting on
it's
to
good.
Ralphie.
It's good that the no-shellers are finally learning to accept the truth.
Lay it on there. Way to be arrogant about it, Michael. Getting on to Ralphie and Jiley drama, I only have one thing to say. Hashtag Jiley is life. Hashtag Jiley is win. Okay. Absolutely. I'm going to name my favorite characters from Lost and Found like you did, so because why not? My favorite character is Leia or Luke. Absolutely agree. I love them. But I have to say that Theo is amazing because he is so funny and happy all the time.
Theo is me.
Till next time, Gracie. P.S. I miss your Swiss facts. Aw, isn't that nice? Thank you, Gracie.
Hashtag... cool it with the hashtags, Gracie.
Yeah, let's put that one on the next episode. Well, That was very nice, and that's all for a listener email.
Woo!
Email.
Woo! Well, that was quite a whirlwind. I'm very happy we got back.
I'm glad we got to it this week.
We had the perfect cliffhanger for it because next time we do an episode...
I feel like we just watched a perfect story arc.
It was like a movie, practically. Yeah. It was. It was a movie length.
Yeah. What I think is that they write the show specifically for when we have time to watch them. and I'm happy that...
Yeah, that's how the segment went. Yeah. That's all for the Docking Step this week. I'm John.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Michael.
Step out your... What was the one I said before?
This talk is getting more and more difficult each week.
Talk the step.
I'm sick of this.
Talk the step.
We can't do this every week, John.
I got it. Talk the step out of your problems.
Fine. About time.
Can we just commit to one? Thank you.